We have just had an awesome, awesome month of some really, really creative services to get us to start thinking. We kicked off a theme called the Church Advantage. It's going to be our preaching, teaching theme for the next 8 months or so to carry us up to Easter. And then we'll look at, I think we're looking at kicking off. We moved our date. We're going to start the Through the Bible in a Year in September now. So we did move that, so we'll come up with something to fill the summertime and extend in between the idea of the Church Advantage into a year through the Bible. We had started at the beginning of this month, or actually the second week in this month, with a series called Rethink Church. And the whole series is based on really getting back to the basics, looking at why we do church. What are we here for? What's going on? What does our heart look like? What do our actions represent? And so that's the whole purpose of this, that we've been doing Rethink Church. We started off that first Sunday with a service. It was where we all came together as one body, because the theme of that Sunday, the thesis statement, was that the church is a body. It's not a building. And we talked about a couple verses in Ephesians that if we would just do these two verses, if we would do everything found in these two verses, we would have unity, we would have peace, and the body would function correctly. Ephesians 4 chapter verses 2 and 3 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." We learned that a mature body is a unified body. And if we're unified, then it shows we're mature. If we're not unified, it shows we got some growing to do. So the following Sunday after that, we talked about how the church is for the sick, not a health club, you know, not a club for the healthy. And the idea of the whole crux of that was just that we are all sick. We are all in need of the great physician. There is no room at the foot of the cross for pride. There's no room at the foot of the cross for arrogance or judgmental thoughts across each other. We are here and we are all in need of Jesus, the great physician. And the second we start getting this attitude, we'll get that, Dave. We'll come back. You guys can go on back and get ready. I'll move to that. I missed it again. Our services are rearranged for a special thing today. And we had some servants out there waiting on something that I skipped. So we will get to that in a second. We're a church for the sick, not just a club for the healthy. And that the second we start thinking that we are the healthy, then we move into the attitude of a Pharisee. And that was Jesus' point to the Pharisees. Hey, if you think you're healthy, you don't need me. I'm here for the people who need me. And so then our next Sunday, which was last Sunday, we had a very unique service. We talked about how the church worships God. It's not a production for the people. It's not for you guys. This group, I mean, they do an amazing job. They are talented. They're using their gifts and talents for God. But they're not up here to perform for you. They're up here to lead you in a performance for one audience member, and that's God. And so last week, we over-accentuated that by stripping the stage down and had all the worship leaders among you guys. And I thought that was just an awesome, awesome way to illustrate that. And they've done a great job helping to illustrate some of these lessons. We talked about how worship is not dependent on circumstances or atmosphere. It's the result of a choice made to praise God. It's not defined by legalistic boundaries. It's the result of a heart that longs to be closer to God. Worship is not defined. It's not defined by those things. The church is to serve, not a place to be served. And that's what we're talking about today. And before we jump into that, I'm going to pray. We're going to have our offering time. And then we are going to be giving our offering as I'm starting into the message. So we'll have plenty of time for what we've got planned later. So pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to give to you. Lord, we come and we worship you in so many different ways. We worship you through song. We worship you through communion and remembering the cross. We worship you through listening to your word and doing what it says. And we worship you through giving. Father, we ask that you would be blessed by these offerings and tithes that we're giving, that we would put a smile on your face because we know that you love a cheerful giver. So we pray that our cheerful hearts as we give would make your heart even more cheerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as they're doing this, I want to share with you guys a couple little things here, and then we're going to do some breakout stuff. Jesus was walking along, and he was having a conversation with James and John. Actually, James and John was having a conversation with Jesus as you look at the way things were going. And I don't know if they just kind of were hanging out around the campfire one night when everybody else went to bed, and they thought, this is our chance, you know. Or if they were walking in the front of the line, and they kind of got close to Jesus and kind of said this. But they asked Jesus, they said, hey, when you get up into glory, when you get up into heaven, we would like to sit on each side of you. You know, and it doesn't really matter which. And yet John's like nudging him, said, no, I want to be on the left side, dude. You know, I have brothers, guy. You know how it goes. I've got two boys and man, it's just, okay. But they said, you know, we want to be on either side of you. And they have a conversation about this. If you want to go and read about that, it's in Mark chapter 10. But after they have this conversation, I don't know if it's immediately after or if right then some of the disciples heard or some of the others heard about it or sometime later. But the other 10 find out about this and they are really disturbed. They are upset. They're indignant, I think is what the NIV says. And Jesus, knowing this, he called them all together and he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, lord it over them as their high officials exercise authority, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Listen, church, listen to these words. Not so with you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be oh, that's just sad. All right, come on. It's scripture. You guys can read that. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. It's a powerful statement. For even, and I love Mark's, you know, version of this. Matthew and Mark both record it. And Matthew had one angle on his gospel and Mark had another angle. Mark's gospel was written to the Roman audience. It was written to an audience that was looking for power and authority. And you see this throughout Mark's gospel. And he skips all the beginning stuff with the birth narrative and all the, you know, the stuff that, you know, the ladies might enjoy. And he goes right to pow. Jesus was baptized. He went out in the desert and faced Satan. That's how Mark's gospel starts. Mark's gospel is all about power. It's all about authority. I remember Brian and I, we did a Bible study, just the two of us through Mark, and we were just amazed at how many exorcisms there are in the Gospel of Mark. It's just every time you turn around the corner, Jesus is casting out demons, showing his power, showing his authority. And I love that that's the focus of Mark's gospel. And Mark captures these words of Jesus. It says, for even... the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This morning in your bulletins, if you flip your bulletins over, all of our notes are going to just be straight scripture. So go on and write that in there. Fill out that scripture that we've got in there. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If anyone was exempt from serving, it would have been Jesus. If anyone could have said, yeah, no, I don't need to serve, it would have been him. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Even him. I love that part of Mark's little gospel here, that for even Jesus, for even the Son of Man came to serve. The creator of the universe came to serve. He who had shown his supreme authority in so many different ways. He showed his authority over sickness and health issues through the many healings that he did. He showed his authority over the demons in the spiritual realm, the evil powers that we don't see through the many exorcisms that he did. He showed his power over the physical limitations of this earth through things like walking on the water, calming a storm, feeding 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch, the story of the great catch where he miraculously made fish jump into the nets and start to rip the nets of the disciples, the fishermen disciples. Resurrection miracles like Jairus' daughter, like the story of Lazarus, and even his very own resurrection to show that he had the power and the authority over death itself. There's no doubt Jesus is the supreme source of authority, supreme source of power. And Mark says, for even Jesus came to serve. For even the Son of Man came to serve. He came to give. And he did. In the upper room, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, he was sharing in what we know as the Last Supper with his disciples. In John chapter 13, he records something that the other gospels do not. And that is the washing of the disciples' feet. We pick up on this at the very first part of chapter 13. It says, the evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. I love how John includes this. It goes hand in hand with Mark's chapter 10. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Jesus knew he was in authority. Jesus knew he had power over everything. And that he had come from God and he was returning to God. Jesus knew who he was. He knew whose he was. So he got up, knowing this, being full aware of his authority and his power and his position. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Praise God, I'm not giving you a visual this morning of that. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had wrapped around him. This was the job of the house servant. Now, being separate from this culture, we don't realize how offensive this would have looked to the disciples. Here's Jesus. They watched him do all of these miracles. They knew he was God's son. They knew he was the Messiah. And he's not only doing the act of the servant, but he's down dressing to look the part. He took off his outer robe. He put on a towel. He not only acted like a servant, but he wasn't afraid to look like one also. Peter says, Lord, are you about to do what it looks like you're about to do? And Jesus says, you do not realize what I'm doing. You're going to understand it later, but you don't realize it right now. And I can just imagine Peter saying, no, I get it. You got a towel around your waist. You got a basin of water. I saw you wash his feet, and I'm standing right here. I know what you're about to do. You're about to wash my feet. You, the man who I watched walk on water, the man who I woke up in the boat and said, Jesus, we're going to die, a fisherman by trade, who is facing a storm so rough and so horrendous that he believed that he was going to die. And Jesus wakes up from a dead sleep and just, peace, be still. And it listens. I can't even walk straight when I first wake up. Peter, who was there when Jesus had over 5,000 hungry people. And Peter and the disciples, they say, hey, we need to send these guys away. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. How are we going to do this? And Peter watched as Jesus took a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he blessed it and he fed 5,000. And Peter was one of the disciples who picked up those 12 basketfuls of leftovers. Peter saw this. He witnessed this firsthand. Peter was one of the rare 3 that got a chance to stand on the Mount of Transfiguration when all of a sudden Jesus started floating and glowing white and appeared there with Moses and Elijah. And now that same figure is at his feet, dressed like a servant, doing the job of a servant. And Peter says, never. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Peter changes his whole tune. He says, get her done then. You know, if you're going to do my feet, let's do it all. I don't want anything standing in between us. I don't want anything. I mean, if that's what this is about, wash all of me because I don't want anything to stand in between us. So Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only wash his feet. His whole body is clean. and you are clean, though not every one of you, for he knew who was going to betray him. And I think it's amazing that we see this here, that Jesus even washed his feet, because we're told he washed the disciples' feet, and this was before Judas had left. He knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And I want you to listen, church. Listen to what Jesus says. He says, "Do you understand what I have done for you?" He asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." It's going to write that down. That's straight from Scripture. Fill that in your bulletins. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Has Jesus loved you? Then love others. Has Jesus forgiven you? That's tough. Love others. Has Jesus served you? Absolutely. Then serve others. End of story. Jesus continues in verse 16. He says, "I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Let's write that down too. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. This is what Jesus did. He came to serve his creation. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He came to give. He humbled himself and he washed the disciples' feet. Why do we think we're above serving? Why do we think we're above looking like a servant? Now, there are some people that are very uncomfortable when I talked about weeks ago that you need to come to this service dressed to serve. Dress down. Don't dress up today. Some people just couldn't do it. They couldn't get it into their system. Jesus didn't only serve. He didn't mind looking the part either. And we shouldn't have a problem doing that ourselves. We're no greater than he was. If he did it, we should do it also. Our master served. We should serve. Our master, our Lord, our teacher gave. We should give. Then Jesus says in verse 17, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." It's going to write that down. Some of you guys are already, you jumped right in there. You know where I'm going. If you do these things, if you do them. So he says, now that you know these things, you know, we study God's word a lot. We talk about God's word a lot. We go in and we look at God's word a lot. But Jesus says, just knowing it, that's not where the blessing is. Now that you know these things, if you do them, Jesus knew human psychology. It's not just enough to know it. If you do them, that's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing's not just in knowing. It's in doing. There was a Francis Chan clip that I had seen that we don't have time to play here. But the idea was Francis was talking about how when, as a parent, you tell your kids, go clean your room. You're not asking them to form a study group to break down the sentence that you just gave them. Let's look at the hermeneutics of what go clean the room means. Let's get out a dictionary and look up what the definition of clean is and what clean means in this culture and how it fits this society. Okay, now we understand what clean is. He didn't, you know, when you ask your kids to go clean your room, you're not asking them to go and ponder the philosophy. What is the heart that's supposed to be behind cleaning my room? Let me ponder this while my room stays dirty. Now, when you ask your children to clean a room, that's what you want. Go clean the room. Don't think of it. Don't study it. Don't just, you know. Those of you guys who are parents, you know we can't finish sentences. It's frustrating. I could finish complete sentences before I had kids. Now I just, stop, no, no, stop, Go clean your room. We're no different. Go clean your room. Go serve. And we have classes on service. And we have sermons on service. So today, we're not teaching here. We're going to go do. Today, we are going to go serve. We've got four different areas in the church. And we're going to spend the next half an hour going to these different, or more. If you guys want to stay later, that's up to you. We don't want to keep you all day. And we will be closing things down after a certain amount of time. But we want you to go and serve. We've got four great areas of service. And the point here, I don't want you to miss the point. The point is that we are having a worship service by serving. Serving is worship. Sometimes we think that this is the only way we get a worship service. No. This is singing. This is giving our offering. This is, having a time of communion, remembering the cross. This is getting some things from God's word. That's what we get. But serving is worship. And we're going to experience that today in one big church-wide object lesson. We've got four areas to serve. Downstairs, we've got two areas that are going to be going towards soldiers. We've got a room for those of you who might not be as mobile to clip coupons. I know this sounds really simple, but from what I understand, these are very valuable to the soldiers overseas. And if we clip them and organize them and send them over, that way they get used a whole lot more expediently. I mean, they're soldiers. They don't have time to sit around and clip and sort coupons and make the little books that some of you guys make. So when we do this, we're serving them and we're helping them out. And so that's one thing that we can do, and that's going on downstairs in room 112. So if you go down the stairs, that first room on your right, as you turn around the corner, that's room 112. Now, if you go down the stairs and turn left, and go into the big room over here, the fellowship hall, we are putting together soldiers' care packages. You guys collected stuff for weeks leading up to today, and we are putting together that this is what they look like. This is one of the ones that was made first service. And we're going to put these together and send these over to the guys overseas. And we've got a bunch of stuff that you guys gave above and beyond, and we're going to be sending that in one bulk group so they can have all of that stuff. So everything you gave is going to get sent. But we're putting those together. And along with that, we're doing these cards that'll go in the boxes, handmade cards downstairs that are just thank you for serving. So those are really cool. We have cards upstairs that are a different type of cards. Over here in the multi-purpose room, we've got these cards right here and there. They are really, really cool looking. The group that did these are going to be cards that are going to be handmade cards. They've got all the materials over there. They've got these designs that are just really, really, really cool. I love this one. It's a get well soon card. And that's just great. If you can see it, I just love that. And that little guy. But those cards over there, we are going to make those cards so that the office has a supply of handmade cards with maybe a little message on the inside with, get well soon or, hope that, sorry for your loss or whatever, some of the different things there that we would send cards out to. So those cards, you're going to make those, and those are going to be in service to give to other people as needed that we'll send them out from the worship or from the church, and all of it will be a part of worship. The final area of service is going to be downstairs. You'll meet to go with Justin. Those of you guys who want to go out. Now, the cards and the soldiers' care packages, we thought would be good family events. So you can take your whole family there. If you've got little kids, I want to take my kids down here and we're going to make some cards and have some fun over there serving and worshiping together as a family. But for those of you guys who don't want to do cards, don't want to do, you want to get out and do something manly, rah, 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 you guys can go with Justin, our student minister, and he's going to take you guys down to the park and ride, and we're going to serve the community by cleaning that place up. That place gets disgusting. People cleaning out their cars and throwing stuff away and everything else. So if you guys want to go with Justin to go down to the park and ride, then you'll meet downstairs in the lobby down by where the coffee is, the coffee and donuts. Most of you guys know where that is, especially the crowd that I'm targeting for that service project. So we're going to leave from here and go do that. And then I'll be going around the various groups toward the end of our time and praying with you guys to kind of close things up. So as soon as I finish praying here, you guys take off and head on out and pick one of those four service areas to go and serve in. And I want this to be remembered in your brain. Worship and service go hand in hand. So if that's all you get, if the cards you make are ugly, that's okay. If you learned that worship and service goes hand in hand, That's great. If you only make one or two care packages, it's all right. The main goal is I want you to connect worship and service together so that from this day forward, whenever you worship or whenever you serve, you look at that as worship because you're doing it in obedience to God. And God said, love your brother, love your neighbor, lay your life down for your neighbor.